Welcome to the Boulder City Podcast, where we feature discussions with the unique personalities we find in our small town. I'm your host, Roger Gross, and today we bring you a fascinating story about three local women who recently completed the Camino de Santiago, or the Way of St. James, a 1,000-mile pilgrimage across France and into Spain, tracing the route that many have taken for almost 2,000 years. Patty Avalos-Ruiz and Laura Reagan, both parishioners at St. Andrew's Catholic Church, and a friend, Lacey Powers, who currently lives in Oregon, began their trek in late March in France, the least utilized part of the trail. They crossed the Pyrenees into Spain, finally winding up at the Cathedral of Santiago de Compostela in Galicia in northwestern Spain. They explained about the adventure, their preparations, the hospitality of both French and Spanish households along the way, and their favorite memories of the trip. The three will gather at St. Andrew's Catholic Church sometime in August to show photos and reflect on their journey. The Boulder City Podcast is sponsored by the Emerald Isle Casino and the Rainbow Club Casino in downtown Henderson, where slot players are treated like royalty.
It's gonna be all right. Walk with me.
Welcome to the Boulder City Podcast. My guests today are three ladies who went on the Camino de Santiago, a tremendous walk, pilgrimage type of thing that they traveled through three countries and traveled almost 1,000 miles. So I want to introduce Patty Avalos-Ruiz, Lacey Powers, and Laura Reagan. Ladies, thanks for joining me. It's really exciting to talk to you. I was a little bit jealous when you guys went over there, but I don't think I'd have enough time to be able to devote to that. But it's great that you guys did, and I want to hear all about it. Let me talk to each of you so that people recognize your voice. And Laura, let's start with you. Laura Reagan.
Hi, Roger. Thanks for having us today. We're happy to share a little bit about what we did, maybe encourage other people.
Great. And Patty, you've been on these trips before, so you had some experience. You didn't actually walk the whole thing until this time, but what gave you the inspiration to do it again?
Thanks again also for having us, Roger. I had walked, this is my third one, and there's no whole Camino. Everybody does their Camino their way. And I just decided after I had already done the 500 miler several years ago, I thought I'm going to go a little further and we're going to do 1,000 miler. And we wanted to start in France. So I was very grateful that I found two friends crazy enough to do it with me. And right. So we did.
Okay. And Lacey, how did you get roped into this?
Well, again, thanks for having us. But I've actually known Patty for about 15 years. And so I was around when she did her last Camino. And I just kind of told her, almost jokingly, but kind of serious, that I wanted to do one with her when she decided to do another one. And it just kind of always became like a dream on the horizon type of deal. And then when it got closer, I was like, okay, I'm pretty serious about this, so it just kind of was a dream we always kind of wanted to do when she got back from the last one.
Okay, great. So, Patty, you had done this before, and like you say, you just did it 500 miles, but even 500 miles seems really long to me. I remember when I was a Boy Scout, we did a 50-mile hike, and I thought that was long. I mean, this is pretty incredible. So what made you decide that you wanted to go a third time and make it the entire distance?
My first Camino was just the last 100 kilometers. It was enough to get my feet wet. Mm-hmm. My second Camino was the 500 milers, and I was taking my husband's remains with me. And so the third one, I just kind of wanted to see if I could. So there was a totally different feel to this one. There wasn't any rush. I'm retired now, and so I didn't have to hurry up and finish by a certain date to return back to work or anything like that. It was more of a, let's throw this out there and see if it can happen. And it did.
Great. And Laura, how about you? What made you decide to sign on to this venture?
Well, I guess years ago I had watched the movie The Way, which is all about a walk on the Camino, and I had this brilliant idea that we should all do it together as a family. Unfortunately, not everybody was as thrilled about it as me, so it kind of got didn't happen. And then Patty was going, and she said, "Hey, I'm going to do this. I'm going to walk 1,000 miles. Want to come?" I'm like, "Sure." So that's how I ended up going.
Lacey, you're younger than the other two, so why did you decide you wanted to go on it?
I kind of just wanted to experience different things and go on an adventure like this. It's an incredible thing to go with two people that have pretty much traveled the world. And, you know, Patty knows French. She can speak French and Spanish fluently. And so that was a really big advantage to us to have her with us for this trip.
Sure.
But yeah, I just wanted to learn different cultures. And it was my first trip out of the United States. And I just wanted to see what else is out there.
That was pretty immersive for you, I guess, huh?
Yes. Yeah. It's a pretty big culture shock, but it was just an amazing experience. I've traveled all over the U.S. and lived in different states and stuff, but to see a different culture completely was just incredible. It was a great experience.
Great. So here's a question for all three of you. How did you prepare for the trip? Were there any special exercises or diets or even meditations before you left?
I'll go first if that's all right. We walked a lot.
Okay.
And we discovered, because Laura and I trained for a little while, and we discovered that there were lots of circles that we could do in Boulder City.
Right.
We would do a circle around, this direction and that direction, all 4 mile treks. And then at one point we found a 10 mile trek that we could do. But we were looking forward to just being able to go like in a straight line where you gotta look at it now because we're never coming back this way again. But we did a lot of walking. Because I have an aversion to silence, there was no meditation going on beforehand. We mostly just talked when we trained. But it was that was our version of training. I'm not sure that I followed any diet per se.
Yeah.
That was my training though.
Okay. And so I know Laura walked with you quite a bit, and she's got a nice Peloton machine.
Yeah.
Any other special training exercises, Laura?
I would just say, like, you know, how we started, we just started with smaller distances and then we worked our way up to the higher distances. And once we felt like we had that down, then we started adding in our backpack. So it was more realistic. So the last month we always had our backpacks and started using our poles so we could get used to that.
Right.
And, you know, we just had to change out our shoes differently, try to find the right shoes. So that we were comfortable because we were really focused on making sure our feet were comfortable.
Okay, great, great. And Lacey, how about you? You weren't in Boulder City at that point, right?
Yeah, no, I actually live in Oregon right now.
Okay.
So I wasn't able to train with Patty and Laura with them. So I kind of did my own training. Since they're both retired, they obviously have a little bit more time to do the training walks. But I was working two jobs at the time. So I would get them in when I could. But I probably definitely did not do as many miles prior to the walk as they did. But I did sort of do like what they said. I walked and then started using my backpack and then adding weight to it and just kind of getting used to what it would feel like to do that every day and wearing the right shoes and finding out what works for me and what didn't.
Okay. So tell me what you brought with you. I mean, again, with flashing back to my 50-mile Boy Scout hike, I had a huge pack on my back with everything but the kitchen sink, and it was quite heavy. What was I, 13 or 14 years old? But I didn't see you with gigantic packs on your backs when you sent pictures of the trip. So what did you bring along with you? Patty, you want to start with you?
Laura and I would shop. We shopped and shopped and shopped until we found all our stuff that was on a list that we had put together. And then it was a matter of eliminating stuff. We had a certain number of shirts, a certain number of long sleeve, short sleeve, long pants, short pants, socks, underwear, and toiletries were now no minimum. I think The biggest concern that I had was the fact that I had medications I had to take with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we eliminated stuff, I could eliminate a shirt, but I couldn't eliminate any of my medication. And I didn't feel comfortable with shipping it ahead, like to the French-Spanish border. So I had to take all 90 days worth of medication with me. And it was like almost 2 pounds out of,
mm-hmm.
we were shooting for under between 15 and 20. And I think I came in at like 18.
Yeah. Okay. Lacey, how about you? What did you bring that was special, and how did you get down to the weight you were comfortable with?
Pretty much the same type of deal as Patty and Laura. We kind of tried to follow a little bit of a list type of thing to, you know, keep our stuff down to a minimum. It wasn't like we were going to be camping the whole time,
right.
So we wouldn't have to bring like any kitchen utensils or things mm-hmm. like that. So it's really just clothes and toiletries. And yeah, just kind of trying to keep the weight down as much as we possibly could. Because especially in France, we had to load our backpacks with food,
right.
As well. So that kind of upped the weight for us. So yeah, every time we had a chance to get, we would try to eliminate stuff that we could, as best we figured out.
So you also had to be prepared for cold weather and rain. I mean, it was, you started off this trek in what, April, right?
Actually, we left March 20th.
Okay, so it was late March, and it gets pretty cold.
It was a little cold. We had one day where it snowed sideways on us.
Wow.
and fortunately, we stayed in the hotel that whole day.
Yeah.
We watched it snow outside our hotel window. But it did snow, and it was a little, there were some days where we put on more clothing than other days. But we were pretty well prepared. I don't know that any of us weren't prepared in terms of changes of weather.
Right. So Laura, you had like a rain jacket and things like that?
Oh, yeah. We just, basically our focus was layering. So
yeah.
We had like a base layer. We brought like one long sleeve shirt.
Mm-hmm.
We had, a rain jacket, lightweight
poncho,
because everything was all about the weight. Then we had a poncho that went over the top of us and our backpack.
Okay.
So that rain didn't like run down our backs. But I would say most of the time the rain was not bad. It was the wind that was really a problem when it was raining and windy. So
yeah, yeah. I guess that kind of bone chilling wind happens there, right?
Well, you know, the poncho blows all over and you're trying to hold it down so
right.
It doesn't blow over the top of your head and
right.
Yeah.
How about foot gear? Obviously, that's the most important part of your attire there, because it's in contact with the ground at all time. I mean, how many pairs of shoes and boots did you bring?
Well, I brought one pair of boots, hiking boots, and just wore those the whole time, and they worked great for me.
Uh-huh.
I only got one blister in the beginning, and then after that, I was completely fine the whole trip for my feet-wise. Some other ones of us had two pairs of shoes.
Okay.
Patty?
Yeah, I actually traveled with three pairs.
Okay.
I had boots. I had a pair of walking shoes that were Hoka brand. And then I had a pair of Keen sandals. After about 3 days of walking in my boots, which I had trained in,
yeah.
I sent them home.
Okay.
You know, they gave me blisters and I just wasn't willing to do that. So I walked in my Hokas the rest of the way. And then in the evening, I would put my sandals on. In the city of Bordeaux, which is about the middle of France, I picked up a second pair of Hokas and I waited until I got to Saint-Jean before we entered Spain. And I threw out the first pair of Hokas and I wore my new pair of Hokas there.
Okay, great. And Laura, how about your shoes?
I had a hiking boots, a pair of tennis shoes, and then I had some UFOs, which are like kind of like a recovery flip-flop that I wore like in the evenings.
Okay.
And eventually, yeah, so I had usually one pair of shoes strapped on the back and had the other one on my feet, depending on what our walk was, was it wet or muddy or,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
So tell me about the different sections of the hike. You started in France, and it looked like it was quite a ways in France. It was a few hundred miles, I'm sure.
We started at the very north of France. Originally, when we were supposed to start, the plan originally, of course, was in 2020 until they shut the world down on us, literally 2 weeks before we were scheduled to leave. So we were going to start in Paris. But the idea of leaving a major city wasn't really very exciting for us, because it's hard. You know, you leave the pretty part of the city, then you got to go through all the not so pretty parts of the city.
Right.
So we decided as a team to go ahead and just start in a smaller town, which was at the monastery of Mont Saint-Michel, which is in the north. It's in the region of Normandy in the northwest of France. It is the beginning point for, because there are different Caminos, and each region has a different name for that particular route. And that particular route starting in Mont Saint-Michel is called the Way of the Capitals.
Okay.
And then that, so that's where we started, but the very northwest of France.
Okay. And as you went through a different region though, how was the terrain? Was it different in each region?
Well, in France, it was pretty flat. It wasn't bad.
Yeah.
So, you know, we got a little practice there, and it didn't get, it was more challenging in Spain because there are a lot of hills.
Yeah. Okay.
So then it makes it, you really notice that backpack weight when you're going straight up over the top of the Pyrenees.
Sure. So how clearly is the path marked? You know, obviously, you know, it connects to each other in each region. Did you ever get lost?
It was a daily occurrence. No, not daily, but we managed to get lost a couple of times. I think the worst we got lost was when we went off track by about 5 miles.
Okay.
We were west of where we needed to be. And when we went to look for a way to get back on track, they pretty much told us, no, you have to walk back to the Camino, and it would have just added a great deal of distance to our day. It was really overwhelming. But I think the ladies will agree that we were blessed with what we called Camino angels.
Yeah.
There was a man who, for no benefit to him, offered us a ride back to the Camino for that 5 miles that we'd gone out of our way, and wouldn't accept payment.
Huh.
But he was, and we met a lot of people like that on our way.
Right.
Visit the Rainbow Club and Emerald Island Casinos for award-winning dining and the best selection of the newest video reel games, video keno, and video poker. Recognized by the Las Vegas Review Journal's Best of Las Vegas Awards, Emerald Island Casino has been voted Best Video Poker, Best Paying Slots, Best Henderson Casino, Best Henderson Restaurant, Best Locals Casino Valleywide, Best Breakfast, Best Coffee Shop, and Best Diner. Rainbow Club's new restaurant, Triple B, was also voted Best Burger and Best Brunch. Emerald Island Casino and Rainbow Club Casino, where slot players are treated like royalty.
So tell us about you know, you stayed at a few hotels, obviously, but you stayed at hostels. And what kind of arrangements did you make ahead of time to stay the night at certain locations?
So we stayed in a few different kinds of places. In France, it's not, the Camino doesn't have the kind of infrastructure that Spain does.
Yeah.
So in France, Laura had actually done a lot of research and found an article with a lot of names for people that had done the Camino in the past, or at least sections of it. And they were offering up their homes for pilgrims to stay in as they were walking through their town. So we would contact people every few days and kind of reserve a spot in, you know, in the next place. And most of the time in France, it was just people's homes. So we got to kind of, you know, immerse ourselves in their lives for a night, and they would cook us dinner and breakfast, and they talked with Patty a lot. And Laura and I just kind of sat there because she can speak French with them. So that was kind of a fun thing, lots of translating and kind of just learning what their life was like for a day. So it was really nice. And then once we got into Spain, we did do a lot more of hostels and albergues, which is kind of their version of hostels, and some kind of bed and breakfast type places. But all of it was really nice. We didn't really have any terrible experiences with housing. We always found a place to sleep every night, and people were always extremely generous and just overwhelmingly nice to us as we did the walk.
Laura, did you have a planned stop every night, or were you just hoping to find the hostel that was open that night?
Not really. We just tried to, like, you know, stay a couple days ahead to ensure that we had somewhere to stay. But because you don't really know how far you're going to walk,
right,
or, you know, get held up, you can't really book through the whole way. So we had reservations a couple days ahead, mm-hmm, usually. And then, yeah, that's a general rule of thumb, I think. Okay. Yeah.
So how much did you hike every day? What was your average every day? Did you figure that out?
I would say, I don't know what you guys think, probably between 12 to most, I think we did was 20 miles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Probably around 12 to 18 on average every day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We had one group of days where we walked 51 miles in 3 days. We quickly discovered we didn't want to do that again.
Yeah, yeah, right.
It was a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. So the three of you are walking together. I mean, some days one of you might not feel like walking that fast. Other days, you know, or feel that, you know, that up to it. Other days, you know, maybe somebody else wants to go faster. Did you stick together the whole time, or did you say you go ahead and I'll catch up? Or how did that work out?
So for the most part, Patty walks actually a whole lot faster than Laura and
right.
I do.
Okay.
And so she was kind of the one to take the lead every day. And then it would be mostly me and then Laura, or Laura and I would kind of switch spots every once in a while. But for the most part in France, since the signage wasn't great some days,
yeah,
we would kind of stick together as best we could. So none of us would get lost or, you know, go to a different town or something. But once we got into Spain, we were all able to really spread out and kind of just be with each other when we wanted to, mm-hmm, and not, and meet other people when we wanted to as well. So that was kind of a really nice thing about the Spain section of the walk.
So tell me about some of the other pilgrims you met, Laura. Did you walk with other people along the way for any amount of time?
Yeah. You know, you just kind of, when you're walking at your pace, you run into people that are walking at your pace too. So you start up conversations. Met a really interesting girl from the Czech Republic, from Australia and the Netherlands. And just, you know, they're still like, you know, keep in touch and send me messages on WhatsApp. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was, you know, it was just fun meeting new people and talking to them as why they're doing it and learning about their lives and
right,
their country.
So Patty, was that one of the reasons you wanted to go back, because you had met these kind of people on your previous trips?
Yes. And I met some girls from the South last time I went, and I still travel with them, and I maintain the friendship with them, and I've been in touch, like Laura says, with some of the people that we met, and planning trips to their country sometime soon. So it's kind of neat, because you know you don't often get exposed to people where you just have nothing but time to talk about what they're, you know, what, why they're on the Camino and what their life is back home, and you know. And there's, everybody has a different reason to be on the Camino, and it's kind of cool to listen to different stories.
Sure. And Lacey, you said that was kind of one of your goals, is to get immersed in different cultures. Was it interesting for you to start meeting these people from different countries?
It really was. It was really a great thing. I talked a lot with a lady from Romania, and I just don't know in any other circumstance where I would talk a whole day with a lady from Romania.
Right.
So it was a really neat thing. And like the, like Patty and Laura said, we've met people from all over the world, and now we're planning trips to, you know, their countries, and people were always really nice and offered up their homes to us whenever we were traveling through their countries. And it was just a really amazing thing to be able to meet people from all over the world that you wouldn't normally get the chance to.
Right. Okay. So tell me about the food options. You know, you said you had to load up with food in France. Was that just because there was a long ways between these houses that would host you?
So the food in France situation. So we had we learned very quickly the first night of our trip that there is almost no options for food in France on Sundays.
Right.
Okay. In the small towns that we were in, because we would come into these little itty bitty towns that are maybe 50 people live in them.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have a restaurant, they wouldn't have a supermarket, so we would have to kind of plan ahead on Fridays and Saturdays and kind of make sure we have food for Sunday. And then just too, sometimes the towns would be closed, or, you know, if they did have a restaurant, it would only be open on certain days. And of course, we would always be there on the day that they were closed. So it's just kind of a hard thing to kind of figure out in the beginning there, but we did.
Right.
And in Spain, the food options were amazing as well. We would have 3-course meals everywhere. And in the houses in France, people would feed us like 4-course meals. There's so much cheese and just so much good food. And then in Spain, there's a lot of seafood and meat. And it was just amazing getting to eat it all.
Right. So, Patty, do you remember any meals that particularly stood out for you?
You know what? I remember in the city of Burgos, there was a tiramisu that I don't think I'm ever going to be able to top. And it was just, I'm all about the desserts. I love food. Food is a wonderful thing. And I was looking through my pictures the other day, and boy, we have a lot of pictures of food in our journaling, but I, you know, dessert is my favorite. You know, I'm of the philosophy, life's too short, eat dessert first. And so we had lots of desserts. It was awesome.
Right. Right. How about lunch, Laura? Did you bring stuff along with you for lunch, or did you plan ahead for that, or did you stop?
Well, in France, yeah, we just tried to either grab food and have a little picnic along the, in a nice little grassy area where, you know, hopefully we'd find a place where we could eat. And then in Spain, it was a lot easier. I mean, there were places to eat all along the way, and I guess I should mention, so, and once you get to Spain, they have a pilgrim's menu. So it was pretty much the same there. Like, you know, you have like a few different choices of, like, you know, a first course, a main course, and then a dessert. It's always was three. Plus it came with either wine or water. So, you know, and it varied between 10 to 12 euros. So yeah, it was really affordable.
Okay.
And so we were never hungry, but in Spain,
yeah,
we were like, occasionally in France. Yeah.
Sounds like France was a little more difficult there. So,
yeah, so, it's less traveled. It's not as common. It's very uncommon route. Really only just French people take it.
Yeah.
Walk it for the most part. Yeah.
So it's kind of different that you actually took the whole route then.
Well, we were on 3 different routes, like Patty was saying earlier. Yeah. There's multiple routes, so we just made up our own route.
Okay.
Starting from France.
Right. Okay. So, Patty, what's your most vivid memory from this time on the trip?
You know, I thought about that long and hard, and trying to prepare for this, and there were so many really cool moments. Of course, the highlight is when we actually got to Santiago and to the cathedral. That was really cool. But there were just, I guess, one of the funnest moments. We were in between 2 small towns in France, and a dog joined us. And this dog followed us, I kid you not, probably 5 or 6 miles. Yeah. And we stopped in a town to have lunch, and that dog waited outside the restaurant until we were done, and then followed us some more. And Lacey was like, if he goes another mile, I'm taking him home with me. But, you know, sadly, we did send him back on his way. And but, you know, there were just lots and lots of really fun memories. When I sit and look at, like I said, the pictures, I remember that. And they were just, it was all in all, I had a really hard time picking just one memory.
Sure, absolutely. Lacey, do you have one?
Obviously, like Patty said, the highlight was definitely walking into the square in Santiago, hearing the bagpipes
right.
coming in. It was just, it was just an unforgettable experience. But probably another one of my favorites is kind of when we were in France and we were by ourselves and we were just walking through the forests and just on these little trails that probably no one else has walked that day. And just the three of us, and we just talk or just walk silently. And it was just incredible to think that, like, you know, you're walking along and you think to yourself, like, I'm walking in a forest in France. Like, it's just incredible.
Right. Laura, how about you?
It was kind of what I was thinking as I was walking along, that you see so much more when you're walking. Like, even like, you can bike the Camino, but you're gonna miss out on a lot. We just had a lot of interactions, even say with the farm animals, and seeing just little beautiful things along the way that you would only see if you're walking. We actually even saw a live birth of a lamb. So, and we were like, wow, that's cool. We never would have said, we'd just been driving by in a car and we never would have saw that.
Right, exactly.
So, So all those little things that kind of made it kind of special and appreciate that time.
Okay. Yeah, so this is, you know, a pretty incredible experience, not only the distance and the fact that it's a foreign country, but it's a lot of history to this Camino. I mean, people have been doing this for thousands of years. Did you feel connected to those people who have made this trek all through history, basically?
I think it was cool to imagine that, you know, the Camino has changed. I'm sure the routes may have changed, but the idea of being a pilgrim still, I did feel like it was kind of cool because it was a part of history that I got to touch,
right?
You know, to see, and the beauty of the culture there is that you see buildings that have been around. You know, I think Lacey kept track of what the oldest building was, and then when we would get one only like 500 years old, what a piker, right. You know, it's like, that's right. Like, what, I've been in buildings that have been 2000 years old kind of a thing. It was just looking at the history of the buildings and it was really fascinating to me.
Sure. And we value buildings from 1931 in Boulder City.
Yeah, tear it down, it's old, build a new one.
Right, yeah. Right. So, Laura, did you feel connected to history at all?
Yeah, you know, I think so. Just, you know, walking a path that people have been walking for thousands of years, I've kind of felt like, you know, a tourist doing it. You know, there's so many people that do it now. I mean, there's hundreds of people that start a day, but it's called the Way of St. James because of the apostle. That's the whole goal, is to get to Santiago.
Right.
And it was cool.
Right. So, Lacey, you were keeping track of the old buildings. You obviously felt connected to the history.
Yeah, I did. I am a super huge history buff, and I love old buildings and everything. So being able to be in a place that has 1,000-year-old buildings, like, it was just an insane thing to think about, that someone was walking in this building, you know, 1,000 or 1,500 years ago even. We saw a lot of castles and a lot of castle ruins, and it's just a really fun thought to be able to walk in the same place that they were walking and to see those really old buildings and just the architecture of them and that they're still standing. It was cool.
Sure. Now this trail also goes through the Basque region of northern Spain, correct?
Yes, you are not in Spain. You are in Basque country.
Right,
huge billboards that said that.
Yeah,
it's kind of and of course then the cuisine was a little different there too, mm-hmm. both the south of France and the north of Spain.
Sure,
is Basque.
Right. Yeah. And I've always found that interesting. I always wanted to see what that was like. So this is, you know, obviously it's a pilgrimage. Do you feel like anything more spiritual having done this trip, closer to God or anything like that? Lacey, how about you? Let's start with you.
I'm not terribly a religious person. So for me, it was more about the adventure and connecting with people and learning a new culture. And so I think, to me, I feel more connected to the world and other people and now it just kind of sparked that bug in me that now I want to travel the world even more and see more and meet more people and eat more amazing food. So to me, it was more about kind of the experience of the adventure.
Okay. So Patty, I know you're a little bit more religious. How about you?
You know, I had a little finger rosary. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's like a little round, like a size of about a half dollar. And it just has a little, anyway, I said the rosary most days.
Okay.
And just to kind of connect. And it, that was my way of meditating. And it's kind of interesting. Like I said, originally, I just, the reason for the Camino was just to see if I could.
Yeah.
And then as I thought about it more, you know, and you got to meet more people. And the question that a lot of us got asked is, why are you doing the Camino this time?
Right.
And we got some really interesting answers on that question. But ultimately, I think my meditating helped me to realize what my reason was. And it boiled down to gratitude, you know, the ability, above everything, the ability to walk that far, you know, physically. And then all the, I just gratitude for all of my blessings. And so it was kind of a neat thing. That was my connection.
Okay. And Laura, how about you?
I mean, I agree with Patty as far as the gratitude and everything. I think maybe I found a little bit, I feel a little more centered, a little more calm. I don't think maybe I can pause and not get rattled because I don't know. You spend all that time just walking and thinking and you just come back a little different.
Sure. Okay. Mm-hmm. So in the way of advice or maybe even what you might do differently next time, Laura, anything that you would advise somebody who's going to take maybe not the entire 1,000 miles, but whatever segment they want to do?
What I would do different? I don't think so. I think we're, you know, just take it at your own pace, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I would say is the most important, you know, don't be, you know, have these goals set in stone that you have to do this on this day. Just be flexible and
okay.
And I think that's, we got to that point,
right.
You know, everybody just kind of.
Basically like chill, right?
Yeah. Okay. Because that's what it is. You know, you just find this little rhythm and just relax and enjoy the moment instead of worrying about the next, you know,
next day.
Ahead.
Okay. Patty?
I would have to agree with Laura. You know, it's and because the pace, you set the pace and then you enjoy that pace. In terms of you know, don't overpack. There isn't anything that you actually need that you can't buy there. You know, you're not going to a third world country, so you don't have to bring, you know, a bunch of stuff. And then just learn to deal with less. And it's kind of cool, you know. You look at the pictures and we have outfit A and outfit B, you know, and just enjoy the pace.
Okay.
Enjoy the scenery is so, you know, all the pictures that we took, you just can't do the scenery justice. It's just so beautiful.
Right.
I had no idea there were so many different shades of green.
Yeah.
There were mountaintops that we looked over and it's like, holy cow. I mean, it's just breathtaking.
Right.
You know, God's creation is just breathtaking.
Yeah. And Lacey, how about you?
I don't think I would do anything differently. I think how we did it was really great. But yeah, just advice is, you know, just take it every day, take every day as it is. You know, like they said, stop and smell the roses.
Yeah.
It's not a race. It's, you know, you want to enjoy every minute of it. It's not something that most people do multiple times.
Sure.
So who knows when you're ever going to be able to be there again or meet the people that you're meeting. So, you know, eat the food, talk to the people, see the things. But yeah, just advice is just, if you want to do it, just buy the ticket. Just do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gotta do it.
Great. Well, lady, thanks for joining me. This was a really interesting discussion. You make me want to do it, even though I can't walk more than 5 miles these days. But it just sounds like an interesting trip, and the places that you went, the things you see, I'm sure they're going to be ingrained in your hearts forever. Well, thanks, ladies, and hope to see you soon when I get back to Boulder City. Thanks for joining us on the Boulder City Podcast, sponsored by the Emerald Isle Casino and the Rainbow Club Casino in downtown Henderson, where slot players are treated like royalty. Special thanks for Boulder City Social for partnering with us and helping to disseminate the program. So we'll see you next time on the Boulder City Podcast.
And I'll walk with you, oh, walk with me, and I will walk with you.